listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
I am not ashamed of the gospel. I've been driven out of this town 3 times. For the gospel's sake, when we've seen miracles and deliverances and healings, demons cast out. Whew. But there's a price to pay. Are you willing to die for him? It was prophesied over me that I'm going to die one day because of the gospel by a true prophet. And not long ago, over at that old church, a man walked in with a knife. And he sat down, and he looked at me like he wanted to kill me. He had blood all over him. Thank God Jesus was there. Amen. Amen. But Jesus took care of him. He didn't want deliverance, so I just kicked him out of the church. My wife and I in 1981 were married in Hawaii. And that's where I pastored for 4 years. They put me on Honolulu TV. And I preached the gospel on Honolulu TV. And I preached on a lot of different sides of the island, mainly at the hotel set up as a convention center. And I've seen at least 3 times every month, a demon being cast out from someone across the world. What do you do when someone comes up and growls in your face when you ask them how you doing? Do you love Jesus? Do you run? Or do you stick that hand out there like a fullback blocking and say, come out in the name of Jesus? It works. In Tohola, on a Wednesday night, a man stood up, fell over backwards, and his eyes went in the back of his head. I was preaching on a Wednesday night. So what do you do? Well, I had to go over there, and I had to get him up, and I had to cast the devil out. But the funniest thing happened when I got back up to the pulpit, there was hardly nobody in church. Tohola. The Spirit of God moved in such a way that at times I didn't expect it. Then it happens. On a Sunday night, you won't believe what I'm going to say. Down there in Tohola, 21 people got saved on a Sunday morning. 21 people got filled with the Holy Ghost on a Sunday night, those same people. Some of them are on the council right now. God's no respecter. He moves. But I'm glad that he sent Brenda into my life. I asked her one time, we were in Texas, and the place was full. I asked her if I could sing with her. I don't think she was very filled with the Spirit when she said yes. So we got up there and I sang with her. Can you sing? She says, John, you stole my key. So I reached in my pocket. I says, okay, I'll stick with these. I'm going to be preaching on what God has shown me and what I feel and what I believe is going to happen on this harbor. it shakes me to the core when I see what's going on this harbor. Our nation of Indians are full of drugs and alcohol. Spanish people are full of alcohol and drugs. The enemy knows something is coming, and he's moving, and he's getting desperate. When the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, we lost thousands of soldiers. The enemy come in when they were asleep. They weren't paying no attention. They weren't ready. So they came in by surprise. And the way it ended up, one of the generals in the Japanese army says, "We just woke up a sleeping giant." And I'm going to tell you what, the enemy is attacking this harbor and attacking the United States. And he's made a mistake because he's waking up a sleeping giant. Hallelujah. And it's right here on this harbor. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. I don't care if I'm a private in an army. I'm going to go for it. Hallelujah. And I hope you do too. I hope you do too. Because God is ready to move. Hallelujah. Now, when Pastor asked me, I think it was 2 months ago to preach, I had 31 messages. Spoken tongues probably for 48 hours. And I couldn't get nothing. And I thought, what am I going to say, Lord? What am I going to say? And anybody's ever, pastor, you ever been there? I want to say something that I told a pastor, I don't want to undermine him. I respect him highly. We're good friends. I've known him since 1985. Pastored on this harbor 15 years. That old church on the corner down there. But truly, I was sitting back there and the Spirit of God spoke to me about your pastor. Number one, don't lay your hands on him. Back him up and pray for him. Amen. Number two, the Lord showed me something about him. I don't think he's aware of this. He's a very humble pastor. But the Lord said to me, he's a general. He's a general God placed on this harbor. And the devil hates him. And the Lord showed me also that he's in the fivefold ministry. I don't say this to every pastor, but he is anointed in the fivefold ministry. God has set him here. The devil has fought him and tried to drive him off this harbor, but he is laying the foundation on this part of town. Hallelujah. God is going to move, and there is something coming. The devil knows about it, and he is mad. He is furious. And I'm angry too, but it's a righteous indignation. I'm tired of what he's doing on this harbor. I'm tired of what he's doing to our marriages, our families. I'm tired of what he's doing to our churches. A sleeping giant is going to rise up in these last days. Hallelujah. And they're going to put him in his place in the name of Jesus. And we're going to see the greatest revival in the late 1970s and early 1980s, there was a mighty move of God in the Pacific County and Grays Harbor County. There were some radical people. How many knows the Muslims outpray us? How many knows they're so radical? And the church needs to rise up and get really radical. Hallelujah. And say enough is enough. Hallelujah. Somebody give the Lord a good hand. Show him you love him. Hallelujah. This is not about me. Not about me at all. One time I prayed, Pastor, make me look bad so you'll look good. I never prayed that again. I says that I may decrease and you may increase. The Lord's got a good sense. I don't know what I'm doing up here. I'm waiting for the Spirit of God. And He's already here. Hallelujah. But I guess I better get preaching because we'll never get out of here. It'll be like the Apostle Paul. Our brother up there will fall down on the floor and we'll have to raise him from the dead. I want to go to Psalm 63 just for a few minutes. I'm going to get rid of all these notes. They're good to have. Psalm 63 talks about David in the wilderness. It gives a good picture and description, by and large, where the church is at today. A wilderness is a place where there's danger, where there's no water, and sometimes there's no food. And there's rattlesnakes. How many like snakes? Don't raise your hand. And it's a place where it's hot. Like a country boy, when I was in the Army, I was in the reserves, and when I came out of the Army, they sent me down to the Mojave Desert to drive tank. And so I says, the desert? Man, that sounds good. It always rains up here. It's always cold. So I didn't even wear a coat. I wore a T-shirt down there. Not being so stupid, I didn't know at nighttime it freezes. And I froze almost to death. But the enemy zeroed in on this harbor. And David was in it in a wilderness experience. He had Saul after him to kill him. He had Absalom, his son, turned against him. They wanted to kill him. So he was hiding a lot of times in caves. And he was exhausted. He was tired. He was down. I pastored for 32 years. And I know there's times that I didn't even want to go to church. Brenda was there. But I would get up there, and I'd be so tired. And the Lord used that weakness, and He would use me. But I was always scared to get up there. I was always fearful. When the Lord called me in the ministry, I was shy and I was quiet. And I sat in that church of about 8 people in Bay Center. And the old-fashioned preacher, full of the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues. He was on fire for God. Here I'm, the town drunk. I've been there for 3 months. And my hands are sweating because I know he's going to ask me to testify. And I'm scared to death. I was afraid he was going to ask me because I was so shy and so backward. And the Lord showed me, I don't know if it's this church, but there are many who are going to start having an encounter with audible voices. And I was sitting there, and the Lord says, John. I looked at my mom. Remember, was it Samuel when the Lord spoke to him? How many times did he speak to him? 3 times. He says, John. I looked at mom and I said, what? And she looked at me with her eyes like, what are you talking about? So I looked straight ahead at the preacher and a voice came to me and says, John. And I says, uh-oh. I was raised in Sunday school full of the Holy Ghost at 9. And he says, would you preach for me? I says, no way, Lord, no. Third time came, he says, if you love me, will you preach for me? Well, you know I love you, Lord. Next Sunday night, John, you'll be up behind that pulpit, and you're going to be preaching. Well, I didn't tell the pastor. I didn't even tell the devil. I didn't even tell Jesus. I was scared. So at home, when the phone rang, I ran. Monday, Tuesday, I ran out of the house. Then I was sitting there by the old fireplace there, fire stove one night, and the phone rang. I accidentally picked it up. It was the pastor. John, I can't sleep. I can't. The Lord's bothering me. He's talking to me about you. And he says, will you preach for me on Sunday night? So that's how I got my calling. Not by some man, not by some organization, but God Almighty had to do that to get me up here. Hallelujah. He knew I'd never get up here if he wouldn't have done that. Why did I get off on that, Brenda? She says, John, quit telling stories. But here he is. He's exhausted. He's tired. He's been running from Absalom and running from Saul. But at the same time he's exhausted, he's worshiping the Lord. He's saying here in verse 2, so I look for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. When I come to church, when I come to fellowship, I'm not coming necessarily to see who's there, but I'm coming, I'm looking for the power and the glory of God, because my Jesus walks the aisles. Hallelujah. For two or three are gathered, there I am. And he's walking the aisles. The Syrian terror, he said, send the word only, and my servant shall be healed. I've seen people healed while we're preaching. I had one in Hawaii filled with the Holy Ghost while I'm preaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just about ready to get excited here. That's all right. I was going to say, Indians, they say Indians can't hold their liquor. Well, that was true with me. And I got drunk, man, and my whole life changed. Oh, hallelujah. But when I came to the Lord, I found a new drink. Hallelujah. That new wine, when it came into me, oh, glory to God. One time I danced so hard, my heels fell off my shoes. True story. Hallelujah. The pastor looked at me. And one time, you know, in my radical desire and passion for the Lord, I read where Jeremiah ate a scroll, and in his belly it went through him. I was reading that, and I got so on fire, so radical, I ripped the page out of the Bible, and I ate it. I did. I ate it. Those days are coming back to the church where we're going to rise up, hallelujah, and we're going to be on fire for God, amen. Hallelujah. I was preaching down there on the west side here a couple of years ago down in Bakersfield. Spirit of God came upon me. Brenda, don't want me telling you this. The Spirit of God came upon me. I was preaching. I got so excited I ran around the church. And the deacon was right behind me. Well, what's wrong with that? I had a supernatural encounter experience with God. Hallelujah. Like the lame man in the temple, remember him when he had a supernatural encounter with God? He went and ran and shouted and danced and hallelujah. Everybody was watching and thought he was crazy. The days are coming back. The devil has stole the dance, hallelujah. But they're coming back to the church. We're going to dance. We're going to shout. We're going to praise God, hallelujah. Is that all right? I better calm down, Pastor. I'm just going to. When we leave here, I'll say, what did he preach on? I don't know. I just shouted all over the place. But during this time, Absalom, Saul, was coming after David. He got exhausted. He got discouraged. He probably wasn't able to sing much. He probably wasn't able to pray much. How many's ever been there? It's hard on a pastor nowadays. People come in exhausted. They're tired. They're sick. They've been battled by the enemy. Thank God a pastor that will stand up and be not ashamed of the gospel, but he'll preach deliverance and healing and salvation and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Pastor's looking at me. I didn't know this was going to happen. He's a good friend of mine. I told him, I said, get ready because I don't know what's going to happen. Actually, he didn't know either. I seen that concerned look on his face. Would you come on, John? But he's a man of faith. He's a man of faith. Hallelujah. And I thank God. I just thank God for Pastor Larry DeBlanco. You that are watching out there, we have 200 on our Facebook, and I think you have 1,000. I want you to hear this. David knew what you were going through, and Jesus knows what you're going through. Hallelujah. But there's coming a time. Hallelujah. The sanctuary is the type of Christ. Hallelujah. Where we worship and we praise the Lord. I'm coming to see the power of God. Hallelujah. We've been coming here for a few months, and I've seen nothing but the power of God. I've seen miracles happen in this church. Hallelujah. We need to go out and invite our friends. We've been inviting people. We told people on the Facebook, hey, if you're not going, get on over here, hallelujah, and get in church. Praise God if you're not going nowhere. Now, I got to go quickly. I got to shorten this up a little bit. I want us to go over to Acts chapter 5, verse 12. Acts chapter 5, can you give me some water, hon? Acts chapter 5, verse 12. She's got some water here. I'm starting to dry up a little bit. And I know you don't want no dry preaching. Okay, here it goes. 19, it was around 90. I was pastoring at Grace Assembly. We were struggling. God was moving. And it seemed like we were going through what David went through. There was a season of dryness, a season we go through of where you at, God. God, you got to move, God. You got to come through. There are seasons we go through. And I was going through a season where I was struggling. How many's ever been there? I was going through a season where it seemed like it was kind of dry. And the Bible says, your young man shall see visions and your old man shall have dreams. You know that I'm not very young, right? And I had this dream. And it shook me to the core. And it was just this old church on Wishcom Park. A tsunami came. And it was over the building. And it was like, we're sitting here, it was like it was real. God had me right into the thing, it was real. And I kind of put my hands over my head and I was waiting for the blast in the building to go over. And it didn't go over, and next thing I knew, I woke up. And I ran down to the church and it was still up. That's how real the thing was. And I said, what does this mean, Lord? What are you saying to me, Lord? What is going on here? Then the Lord spoke to me, what I'm going to tell you in a little bit. The Lord spoke to me, there's a tsunami of his glory coming to the Northwest. There is a tidal wave of the mighty power of God coming to the Northwest. God is going to bring apostles and prophets in. God is going to bring warriors in. Men that are sent by God, he's going to bring them in. And God is going to give your pastor double portion and power and fresh anointing, God, that's going to place on him. Hallelujah. He's going to cast out devils. Hallelujah. He's going to lay his hands on the sick. Hallelujah. He's going to preach with revelation and power like he's never done before. He already is. But pastor, you've never seen nothing yet. Get ready. You've never seen nothing yet. We went down to Morcerello's, Brenda and I, at a convention in Los Angeles. And there must have been 4,000 pastors there. We were one of them. All the name brand evangelists were there. The big timers, if I tell them, you'd know them all. And when they got done preaching and ministering, he sat down in a chair. There was a 5-gallon bucket of oil sitting in front of him. You need to do this sometime. Put his hands in the oil and had all those evangelists that we walked through. They were on each side. And they would lay hands on Brenda and I. Then when we got to Morcerello, he looked at me and he took that oil and hit me right on the head and face. I said, whoa! And I was going like this, trying to get back to my seat. I was getting drunk, hallelujah, on the new wine, hallelujah. I was getting so drunk, I couldn't hardly walk. Brenda lost it. So we come back to church, and we're loaded with this stuff. And I heard this, whoa, while I'm preaching. What is going on here? This church is going crazy. It was Charlie Capoman. He just got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. The quietest man you'll ever want to meet on the harbor. Here he is shouting. I couldn't believe it. It made a believer out of me. After church, I said, Charlie, are you okay? What happened, Charlie? He says, Pastor, while you were preaching, I had a vision. I saw Jesus standing next to you, robed in his royalty. I saw him. That's why. Oh, my goodness. Then we went to Pensacola. And we got filled, and Brenda got drunk. She never did hardly come out of it. I couldn't even hardly deal with her. She drove the kids home one night, and they said they got out and kissed the ground. She was drunk. And she was working at the store in East Holcomb. They would come up to her and she started speaking in tongues. She couldn't speak English. Brownsville. We brought that back. And we had an altar call one time, and the altar, let me tell you what, Leslie and Charlie fought to get up there. They literally plowed their way through the crowd to get up there to get saved, right? They got saved. But the altar was full. And there was a little 8-year-old girl standing there at that altar crying. She was looking at the pastor, looking at me as I was praying for everyone. She was pointing her finger at me. And her finger was limp. It was crooked. And she couldn't straighten it. She couldn't hold it up. She's about 8 years old. She's crying. Tears are coming down her face. And finally, when I got done praying, I walked over her. I says, "Hun, what's the matter? Are you okay? Are you all right? Do you need healing? Do you need prayer for something?" She says, "No." She says, standing right next to you was Jesus Christ. And the Lord opened my eyes, and he's watching everything you're doing. Woo! Glory to God. My legs have fellowship. I almost fainted right there. Let me tell you what, that same Jesus was there, hallelujah, 1990, is here today. He's not only by me, he's in me, hallelujah. It makes me want to shout and praise his mighty name. Hey, if they can shout at the Seahawk game, can't we shout in church? Hallelujah, yes, praise God. I ain't going to shout. What? Don't ever say you ain't. I ain't going to dance. It used to be me. I didn't want to get embarrassed. Let's get back to the message here. There's a tsunami coming. Now, you got to meet my sister. She's 83 years old. And when she got saved, she was a drunk, full-blooded, half Indian. When she got saved, she was a drunk. I didn't want to be around her. I couldn't stand her. Cussing, slobbery, slithering all over the place, acting stupid. Well, she got saved. Then she come after me. That's why I'm here today. But she is a unique person in the Assembly of God over there in Nacell, a unique person. Knows the word frontwards and backwards. She literally buys books and sends them to Presbyterian ministers on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. She is crazy. She is linked up with the underground church in China. She supports them. She sends them literature. She prays for them. They know Dorothy Hill over there in China underground. Well, they sent her a letter. It says, "Dorothy, we were praying. There was hundreds. We were praying in our underground church. And the Lord gave us a vision. The Lord showed it to us. And when Dorothy relays the message, I believe it. She's not the Word of God, but let me tell you what, she never says anything that's non-scriptural. Or, you know, we have a lot of fakery nowadays. And she said, they told me what they saw. Now, this is not the Bible Belt. You don't have the big, rich pastors coming this way. Nobody wants to come to the Northwest. There's not enough crowd, not enough money, so to speak. Not enough support. So we're stuck. Thank God we got pastors like Larry DeBlanco standing in the gap. Can you say amen? And a lot of other good pastors on this harbor. I don't criticize them. I pray for them. Fill them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. She said in the letter that came from China that there is a mighty revival coming to the United States. But it's coming down from Canada right into Washington and Oregon and Idaho, and then they never seen anything else. Let me tell you what, we need a revival in this dark area called Washington and called Oregon. And it's coming. Let me tell you what, get ready. Let's get ready. There's going to be miracles. God's going to pour his spirit out. God is going to raise up Elijahs. God's going to raise up men and women of God that are not going to be afraid, that are not going to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to go out there and tell them, I think you've been going down there. But I was reading this little, actually, I got to close. Yes, we got to beat the Baptists at the restaurant. I was preaching at the whole, I got too excited about my own message. Forgot about the people. I said, somebody's stomach's growling in here. It was mine. Mine. There are seven churches. The loveless, the persecuted, the compromising, the corrupt, the dead, the lukewarm, and the faithful. I don't know about you, but God is going to have them to himself, a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I made my mind to jump on in. And I made my mind, hallelujah. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I was down crying at the altar. And I said, Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll go, God, if it's across the neighbor, God. I'm tired of picking up hitchhikers and getting them saved. But God, I want to go somewhere, Lord, for your glory. Hallelujah. Even if it's to Holland. I did end up there pastoring one time. I'll go wherever you want me to go. And there was a lady in the church that had the gift of prophecy. Only one. There was only eight of us. There was only one, but she was holy and on fire and full of the Holy Ghost. And I was weeping and crying. Laid her hand on my shoulder, and she said, thus saith the Lord thy God, my son, you shall cross over the sea. You shall minister to almost every nation in the world. I will send you forth. You will cast out devils. You will lay your hands on the sick. Here I'm in Little Bay Center, amen, town drunk. Here I am, just got saved. I haven't been saved very long. Here I am, and she's prophesying this over me. Well, little did I know, I was shot out of the cannon around the United States, hallelujah. And God sent me to Hawaii in a convention center in a Holiday Inn. Preached there for 4 years, seen hundreds saved, seen them from all over the world come to Jesus, seen demons cast out. A lady from Micronesia, they sent her over because she was demon-possessed, and she was built like a fullback, amen. She was, oh, you don't want to tangle with her. And she came into the service from Micronesia. Hallelujah. She sat out there, and I gave her a 30-minute altar call. A 30-minute altar call. Finally, she came up to the altar. They sent her there. She was beating all the people up and all the women up in Micronesia. They had a dirt road. She controlled the town. It wasn't her. There was a demon in her controlling that town. And they sent her over to a dumper in Hawaii. And we had a workman in the laundry that witnessed to her. And she came to church. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you what. Later on, she became my interpreter. But this is what happened. She came in there. And I gave that altar call. Here come this little lady from Micronesia. She stood in front of me, and I backed up because when I looked at her, I thought, dear Lord, I don't want her mad at me. So I stepped back a couple steps, and I said, what do you want? She goes, ah! She tried to bite me. She tried to get a hold of me. And I go, woo! And that was the first devil to cast out in Hawaii. My hair went straight up on my head. Hallelujah. And just like that, I stuck that arm. You're not coming no further. She went down on the floor, saliva was coming out of her mouth, and she was squealing and screaming and cussing and doing all kinds of stuff. And I said, come out of her in the name of Jesus. And that devil came out, hallelujah. She laid there, and the Lord filled her with the Holy Ghost. And they brought people from Micronesia to go to the doctor. She'd go down to the Honolulu Hall of Men. Hallelujah. And she'd be my interpreter. They get saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and healed, and go back. They want me to go over there and pastor. I wonder what would have happened if I would have. I wouldn't have met Brenda. I think she's better than Micronesia. But are you ready? What God wants to do, and I think he's going to start today. He's already started. But what he's going to do, I see a double portion coming. I see in the spiritual realm water being poured out. What started that thing over there, I was preaching one time, and the Lord opened my eyes, and there was a river coming down the aisle. I said, what in the world is that? And it went to that side and to that side. And the Lord says, if you can get those people in the river, and Leslie is one of them, if you can get those people in the river, I will save them and break every chain and set them free and fill them. People are coming, amen, to that river. Hallelujah. And I'm saying there's a river here today. My goodness, it's not just over there, it's here, it's everywhere, hallelujah. But if you get in that river, you can stay ankle deep if you want to. You can stay knee deep if you want to. You can come up to your waist if you want to. But I chose to swim in that river, hallelujah. I chose to take all that God has. I'm not holding anything back, hallelujah. I say, come on, Lord, fill me, hallelujah. I want everyone to stand. I could keep on going for another hour. Pastor, can I do whatever the Lord leads me to do? Okay. There is an anointing fallen. The Lord has shown me. I've seen this in the spiritual realm. There's an anointing fallen. Some of you said, I've been dry too long. Some of you said, I'm so thirsty. Some of you said, I want more of God. Some of you said, I'm ready to go anywhere. I'm ready to go anywhere for God. I'm making myself available today, hallelujah. And I tell you what, I'm not saying this is a great service or only service. You got a pastor that preaches, my goodness sakes alive, if you're dead, it's your fault. Hallelujah. But I tell you what, God wants to do something different today. God wants to give you a double portion, huh? Hallelujah. God wants to give you an overflowing. God wants your cup to overflow today. And it's happening right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. And what I'm going to do is a little bit different what's being done. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is here. He's standing beside me. He's right here and I feel him. And I know he's here. But I'm going to invite you, if you're really hungry, if you really want it, I'm going to invite you to come and drink. Come and get it. Hallelujah, if you really want it. Hallelujah, today. These altars are open. There's a river flowing, praise God. He wants to give you a double portion. He wants to fill your cup to overflowing. You'll never be the same anymore. Your marriage will never be the same. Your ministry will never be the same. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Leonard, could you make your way up here? Hallelujah. The Lord would say, this is not your battle. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, and you've been afflicted. You've been fought for your faith. But the Lord says, stand. You're going to see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord says, you have been faithful. God is going to bless you. God's going to give you a double portion. Oh, God's going to give an anointing on your life like you never experienced. Are you ready for this? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Holy Spirit, come upon him in the name of the Lord right now. God, bless him right now in the name of Jesus. Yes, there it is, there it is, there it is. Battling, you've been battling. Hallelujah, but you're on the winning side. The Lord says the battle's already been won. Just lift your hands and give him glory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, and there's a lot of people with gum problems. Oh, hallelujah. Yes. Mercies. You know, also, the Lord shows me down through your stomach, there's healing flowing. I don't know what the pressure is, but God is touching you right now down in the lower part of your stomach. The power of Jesus Christ, his glory is flowing through you right now. He's healing you. Hallelujah. He's healing you. Oh, Father, touch those gums, Lord. The lower part of her stomach, God, the intestines. God, heal her in the name of Jesus. Heal her, Lord, in the name of Jesus. There it is, there it is, there it is. Fire of God's going through you. Hallelujah. Fire of God's going through you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. MS. No man, just females. Yes. Father, we just take authority over the MS. There's nothing too hard for you to do, Father. You're the great healer. Stretch forth your nail-scarred hand, Lord. You're right beside me. Stretch forth your nail-scarred hand, my Lord, and heal her of this disease. Give her a whole body before you come to take her home. Give her a whole body in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, my God, my shatala bukuna la masala. Hallelujah. Father, we just release a double portion. You know, when Jesus was in the wilderness, Satan didn't attack him right away. Satan waited till after he fasted in 40 days. He was exhausted and he was tired and he was hungry. Then the enemy came and tempted him. That's when he comes. That's when he comes. But the Lord is lifting you up today. The Lord is lifting you up today. Hallelujah. 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 There's somebody battling fear in here. Somebody's battling fear. It's got to go. Somebody's battling fear. Spirit of fear comes in the nighttime. God said he's removing that wherever you're at. He's not showing me, but God has said he's removing that from you right now. You're going to go home and sleep like a baby. The devil's a liar in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many would love a double portion here today? Raise your hand if you want a double portion. Raise your hand if you want all Jesus has for you. Hallelujah. We're going to pray a prayer, Pastor. I want you to help me. We're going to pray a prayer. Hallelujah. For a double portion upon this church, upon you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we send the word out to those that believe, Lord. God, just pour out a double portion upon each and every one here today, Lord. Fill everyone's cup, Lord. God, I pray in the name of Jesus. There it comes. There it comes. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Lord. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Thank you, John. I knew when your wife got up here to sing, and she did such a powerful job, and you have to follow that. Then you get up and preach like you did. Now, next Sunday, I have to follow that. But I'm here to tell you, church, what John is keyed into, and this is what's important to know. We're in a battle. Battle of there's a spiritual war out here, you know, and this region has succumbed to much of the battle, but no more. The line has been drawn. Are you ready? Are you ready to step into the place? Amen.
When Jesus went through that battle, resisting the devil and binding him, he was totally exhausted, wore out, thirsty and hungry. 40 days, 40 nights. I I guess this is what the Lord said. I'm handing it back to you. You know what happened next? An angel came and ministered to him. And when you're going through the battle, and it's almost unbearable, he sends an angel. You've got to be aware of that. Okay, praise God.
Okay, come on, let's give Lord an applause. Among other things, I'm sure your awareness of the battle, the spiritual conflict that we're in. Your battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against human beings or anything like that. The battle is really a spiritual war. And we prayed a double portion of God's anointing to rest on you. I really enjoyed John. How many have enjoyed John this morning? John, you did good. You did awesome. God is good. But I want you to walk in faith. I want you to walk in the strength and the might of the Lord. And I want you to ask throughout this week that God would enlarge your spiritual understanding to the nature of the conflict and what you're involved in. And if you're confused, give the church a call. We'll put people who know how to pray. Get here on Saturday for healing place. Get ministry. God is raising up an army, and you can be a part of that. Amen? Come on, let's give the Lord an applaud. Thank you for his goodness to us today and his grace that he's bestowed upon us as a people. God bless you. Go in the name of the Lord.
Listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.